You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is The Next Level of Glory by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
2 Corinthians, the third chapter, starting at verse 17. And it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed." Look, somebody say, we're going to be changed this week. We're going to be changed this week. "We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." That is the theme for this conference, glory to glory. And as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. The New Living Translation of that latter part says, "And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." The Message Translation says, "And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become more like Him." Man, that excites me. Our lives are supposed to be gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become more like Him, glory to glory. And I want to talk today, as we open up this conference, from the subject, the next level of glory. Everybody say, the next level of glory. The scripture says we change from glory to glory. So every time you read it, it updates itself. Amen? So whatever level of glory that you are in now, have experienced. The glory refers to the presence of God, the power of God, the image of God, the splendor of God, the magnificence of God, the anointing of God, everything that's good about God. And God Himself even describes Himself as glory. When He get ready to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, He says, "I'm going to show Pharaoh all my glory. My splendor, my power, my might, my majesty, my magnificence." Whatever level that you have experienced of God and of His glory, the scripture says there's another level. There's another level to that glory. And so I was debating between, and then I think everything through. And so I said, it's going to be a whole lot to print on the CD, pressing into the next glory. But that's really what I'm talking about. We can just call it the next level of glory. But the next level of glory, the Lord told me to tell you, is going to require some pressing. You're going to have to press into the next level of glory. Bishop Jay said something one time, whatever it is, the next level is designed to keep you out. The next level always has opposition. The next level always has enemies. The next level always has barriers. The next level is designed to keep you out. And for that reason, you got to press into it. And as much as God wants you to get there, as much as God wants you to experience Him more, as much as God wants you to be more anointed than you are today, have more wisdom than you have today, have more power than you have today, have more of His power flowing in you, through you, with you than you have today, have more prosperity, have more money than you have today, the devil doesn't want you to have it. So it may require a press. So Paul says in Philippians, the third chapter, 12 through 14, he says this, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. This man who, as far as I am concerned, in the New Testament, second to Jesus, I call this our New Testament hero. Nobody like him. Nobody got the revelation that he got. You know, we take the things, the facts, the details that we know about the rapture for granted, but we wouldn't know it if Paul wasn't in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We wouldn't have any idea about it. Paul didn't say the Lord started showing me stuff, and whether I was in the body, out the body, I can't remember. Okay? It's Paul that gave us revelation about the rapture. It's Paul that really gave us the revelation about the unveiling of the Old Testament law into the New Testament grace. Paul gave us all this revelation. And it's Paul who was the apostle who founded most of the early churches and oversaw them and ordained elders and put pastors and ministers. It was Paul who broke open the church to the Gentiles beyond the Jews at Jerusalem. And despite all that he had done and all that he accomplished, Paul is humble enough to say, not as though I already attained. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I had done what Paul done, y'all, I might have felt like I attained. I might not have been humble enough to write this. I'm like, y'all don't know what I've done. You don't know how many churches I done started. You know how many folks got saved because of me. But Paul says, with all that I've done, with all the revelation that I have not attained. Either were already perfect. Paul says, I'm not there yet. So if Paul ain't there yet, Paul haven't attained, how do you get there already? Haven't written my South Carolina word I've learned, nail book of the Bible. And some of us feel like we have attained. He said, but I follow after. Two words simply means I pursue. I pursue that I may apprehend that for which I'm apprehending of Christ Jesus. Man, I love that verse. I love the language of that verse. I want to apprehend that for which I've been apprehended. Watch this. I want to get that for which I've been gotten. I want to grab that for which God grabbed me to grab. I want to take that for which God took me. I want to get that for which God got me. I want to apprehend that for which I've been apprehended. In other words, when God saved me, glory to God, when he delivered me, when he brought me out of darkness, he has some stuff in mind for me. He has some things he wanted me to do. He has some places he wanted me to go. He has some things he wanted me to see. He has some people he wanted me to reach. And I want to accomplish everything for which God accomplished me. You got to understand, this goes beyond a house. This goes beyond money. This goes beyond my own business. He said, God had something in mind for me to do that goes beyond what I get myself. There's a reason why I've been called. There's a reason that he saved me. And it wasn't just so I could go to heaven, because if he only saved me to go to heaven, once I got saved, he would have took me on. But he left me here in the earth that I can apprehend that for which I've been apprehended. Y'all got to see this. You got to see this here. In other words, it's bigger than you. And even this next realm of us as a church, the Lord's telling me, some of us, you are so disappointed because you don't have everything you want, as if you think God is just about you. It ain't about you. It's bigger than you, boo. Me, me, me. My, my, my. Paul ain't talking about himself. He said, God got some purpose for me beyond me. And I got to get there. I got to accomplish it. I have to fulfill my mission. Brethren, count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. I reach unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark. I press to the next level. I press to that place that God wants me to be at. I press to that dimension that's trying to keep me out. I press to go beyond where I am right now. With all that I've accomplished and all that I have and all that I've done, and everybody who writes about me, and everybody gives me accolades, and everybody talk about how great you are, and everybody talk about how fine you are, everybody talk about how great you can sing, everybody talk about your anointing, I'm still pressing. I ain't there yet. There are times I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are times when the glory just seems to fall like rain. There are times where you just come into the church, whoo, and I feel his presence. There's times you wake up in the morning like, oh my God, Spirit of the Lord is in this house. There's times you're so excited to get to a conference, you're so excited to get to church, can't wait to get there. There's times when, oh man, there's a season in your life that, I mean, you look like God's just talking to you and things are moving and stuff is falling in place and you sense his presence. But then there's other times you got to press into it. That's why people backslide. Because they haven't learned to press beyond what's falling. Everything ain't going to fall. Thank God for when it falls like rain. But there's sometimes I know I need to get in the presence of God when it looks like the presence is not just coming towards me. Got to be in his presence. It may take some effort on my part to press beyond what I'm thinking, to press beyond what I'm feeling, to press beyond what this stuff that's going around. To watch it, to press into his presence beyond the noise of CNN, MSNBC, CNN, and ABC, and CBS, and all the other C's. Exodus 24, God tells Moses, Exodus 24, 12 and 13, the Lord said to Moses, come up into the mount and be there, and I'll give thee the tables of stone. Come up, be there, and I'll give it to you. You didn't catch that. Come up, be there, and I'll give it to you. God, I want such and such. Come up, be there, and I'll give it to you. But God, when you're going to come up, be there, and I'll give it. That's really three things here. First, you got to come up. Now, watch this. Now, see, I've heard preachers preach this like God just says, just meet me here at such and such a time. Like it's just such an easy appointment. Come up the mount. Oh, you didn't catch that. Not come down the street. Not come into the room. Not come downtown. Come up into the mount. I don't recall that Moses was a mountain climber. I don't recall that Moses had special mountain climbing boots and mountain climbing gloves and mountain climbing ropes and mountain climbing hooks. I said, I don't care what you got to do. I need you there. God ever call you to do something that you're like, why are you asking me to do this? God ever call you to a place that you think is too hard to get there? Come up into the mount. Second part, be there. I think when we go on, I think this, and there were times where God called Moses to the mountain, be there, and Moses was there for days, and nothing happened. Oh, that messes us up. It messes us up when we feel like I done what God told me to do, and now he ain't doing nothing. Told me to join this church, now what? Come up and be there. Well, what about next? No. What you going to give me? Just be there. How long going to be there? I don't know. All I know, God said be there. Until you hear differently, the last order stand. Come up, be there and I'll give thee the table of stone. When you going to give me the table of stone? When you going to give me the law? Just, first of all, I didn't even have to tell you why you was coming there. If I say come up, you come up. If I say be there, you be there. And I don't necessarily have to give you anything because there's a blessing in just obeying me. It's a blessing in just knowing I'm in the will of God. I'm here because God told me to be here. And if he don't do anything else, I know that I'm in the will of God. And it just blesses me and pleases me that I'm pleasing him. Who am I talking to in here this morning? Come up and be there. I'll give thee the tables of stone and the law and the commandments I've written that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, verse 13, and his minister Joshua, well, he told you to come up the mountain. He didn't tell me to. But if you're my minister, if you're my assistant, if you call alongside to help, where I go, you got to go. And Moses rose up, and his minister, and his assistant, and his servant, oh, can I make it plain, and his usher, and his parking attendant, and his children's workers. Y'all don't like me now. Went up into the mount of God. Oh, boy. Drop down to verse 15. And Moses went up to the mount. Not a whole lot of questions. God said, just come on up. Moses went up to the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon the mount. And the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the mount. 6 days I'm here. 6 days I'm doing nothing. You said you're going to give me something. When you're going to give it to me? Because God didn't tell him how long it's going to be. Just said, be there. Can you be there and wait in his presence when it doesn't look like it's being rewarding? Can you be there and be in his presence when it doesn't look like he's getting what he told you you were going to get? Can you just be there? Verse 17, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire upon the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. 18, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud, The cloud was representing the glory, and then he had to go into the glory. Looks scary, but go on there anyway. I don't know what's quite in this next level, but I know God's calling me to this next level. And the next level may challenge your flesh. The next level may challenge your ideas. The next level may challenge your plans, but you know this is the place of glory that God's calling me to. Moses went to the mount, and God him went to the mount, and Moses went to the mount 40 days and night. Sometimes the glory just falls. Other times God's saying, just come a little closer. You have to press into this glory. Other times glory seems to fall off, and you got to press into it. You got to seek him and search for him. Not search because he's playing hide and seek, but search to the degree of you just got to come on in a little closer. I often say this, the Lord gave me this analogy many years ago. Sometimes we think God is not there. And God tells us to come on. It's like you do a child when you're trying to teach him to walk. You stand right here, and you know he won't take 5 steps, but he'll take 2 if you know you're right there. So the child takes 2, and then as soon as you take that 2, what you do? You back up, and you keep backing up. You back, and I remember one of my children would get excited, then one would just stop sitting down and say, I ain't trying to do all that. Sometimes God's backing up from you. Not to leave you, but to strengthen you and let you know, even when you think you're walking alone, I'm still right there with you. I'm just trying to show you how to do this thing. I'm trying to strengthen your walk with me. Paul on Mars Hills in Acts 27, he talks on Mars Hill. He comes to these religious people. He says, I see you got, well, y'all got inscriptions to all these gods and all these Dionysus and Zeus and Jupiter and all these gods. He said, and I saw one you got there. You said, this one is to the unknown God. The unknown one, you don't know. Can I tell you about him? He's not created with hands, nor worship with hands, as though he needed anything. He tells them about this God. He said, this God has made of one blood all nations to dwell on the earth. He's determined your times ahead of time. This scripture always gets to me because he hath determined the times before appointed. That's Acts 17:27. And the bounds of their habitation. A lot of us, we ignore that. God said, I've determined when you're supposed to be on the earth and when the earth is supposed to be. But I'm moving to such and such. I've determined your times and your habitation. But I want to move here. I've determined your times and your habitation. But look like the economy's better over there. I've determined your time and your habitation. I always think about the scripture. Because now, over the last several years, I've having had the freedom financially and freedom time-wise, since we're no longer raising children, to travel. I've been in some nice places. And I've discovered I can go to these nice places and but can't get addicted to them. This is nice, but you got to go back home to sunny, beautiful Columbia, South Carolina. Because this is where the Lord called me to be, because he determines my times and my habitation. Can I be not just transparent? Can I be vulnerable with y'all? Sometimes I get sick of y'all. I get mad when these people come. Well, Pastor, I'm leaving. I'm going such and such. I want to punch you. I want to go too. But I know he determined my times and my. I'm so glad you think you just got the freedom to go wherever you want to go and do whatever you want to do. But some of us, we are called by God. We are anointed by God. We realize my life is not my own, and it's not about where there's a better opportunity. It's about being in his will. I said, I told you I've learned to be vulnerable. Vulnerable means tell you how I feel. Not transparent is what I said, but I'm telling you how I feel. Before we go off the air today, I want to pray with you. And even before I do that, I really want to encourage you to become a Right Direction Connection partner. Our partners pray for us. We pray for you. We send you a monthly letter and encouraging you in your walk with God, along with a CD that is going to help you and strengthen you in your walk with God. Prayerfully consider becoming a Direction Connection partner. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for everyone under the sound of my voice. I declare in the name of Jesus that they go to the next level of glory in their lives, in their finances, in their health, in their wisdom. You're not through blessing us. And I even declare that we go out of this year better than we came in, and that you supernaturally turn things around in our lives. Your word says that you've begun a good work in us, and you will bring it to a flourishing conclusion. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, until next time, keep listening for that still small voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Get these powerful messages today from Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey, Dr. Mike Freeman, Bishop Henry Fernandez, and Bishop Marvin Sapp. This timely series is available for your love gift of $25 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Direction for Life 2016, From Glory to Glory. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praise reports at rightdirection.info, or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.